Andrew Greenberg, co-creator of the Fading Suns universe, is here live to talk about his new tabletop RPG, Fading Suns Pax Alexius, now on Kickstarter. Tonight is April 12th, 2020, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Hi. How are you doing? I feel like I should check with you guys every single time. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another interview edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. For joining us live here on Twitch, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We tape this podcast live each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. You can come join the chat. And see me start late because OBS updates break VLC, and I don't want things to crash. So I'm like creating new scenes on the fly. And so already off my game. So we're going to see how this works out tonight. If you can't be here live, that is perfectly fine. I completely understand. It is Sunday evening. So I get it. And it's Bunny Day today. So everybody's still trying to like get all of their Bunny Day stuff. In Animal Crossing. I know that's all that's going on today. It's not. But I understand that. So you can go to our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord throughout the week. We are there and we do read and interact there. Or if you do already have an account over at vognetwork.com, you can also leave a comment on the episode pages there. But I think the new registration stuff's broken. And I don't think we're going to fix that. So we got to get a new website. I got to get some time to make a new website. Talk about what we're going to be doing tonight, we actually have another interview tonight. And this interview is with somebody who's actually been on the show, I believe, twice before. But this is the first time on video. So I'd like to welcome Andrew Greenberg on the show. And welcome back. To the show, Andrew. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure being on. And yeah, always a good time to rant at you unendingly.
Yes. Yes. So Andrew Greenberg, he's been on the show before, but he has a very prolific and long documented time in the gaming industry, in all aspects of the gaming industry. And we're actually going to be spending a lot of time tonight talking about something that is not what we usually talk about here on the show, but it's about tabletop RPGs. It's actually what we're going to be talking about tonight because Andrew, he actually worked on the original Vampire the Masquerade way back when, and then he created the Fading Suns universe, and he's got a new Kickstarter that is that has been funded, and it ends very, very soon. I'm going to pop this up real quick so people can see. Where are we at right now? We are at, it just went up $147,946. It's got 48 hours to go, but Fading Suns, Pax Alexius, and that is what we are going to be talking about tonight. Andrew, how are you doing right now? I should ask that first. How are you doing with like everything going on in the world, and then also all the tornado warnings we're getting here in this area?
Yeah, we're getting the crazy weather, but yeah, busier than ever. In addition to being a game designer, I run the Georgia Game Developers Association. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of live streaming. A lot of our members are live streamers, and most of them want to get into it. So while this has all been going on, they've all been reaching out about how to get into live streaming. Mm-hmm. We actually formed the Georgia Influencers Network that you were a founding member of to go ahead and get Georgians promoting each other's work. So we've got, about a dozen streamers, podcasters, and others, YouTubers. Yep. In the group to promote each other's work and do very cool things. We're going to be promoting a game, not mine. Robert Waller's Sinker is coming out on Xbox next week, so a lot of us will be focusing on that. And yeah, Bobby, the whole idea is to get you on your game since you were off your game earlier.
Yes. So yeah, so and Sinker, we've actually had Sinker on the show a couple times. It was the first video, pre-recorded video interview I aired when we moved over to Twitch. Back when I think it was called Sinker Portals is when we filmed it, and then he changed the name to Sinker 2, and so I had to like, but I think I have the only Sinker Portals interview. And that is coming out. I think it's April. It's the 14th. It's Tuesday, right?
It was the 17th. I got it written down as the 17th. We're probably both wrong.
Yeah. It's something in there. So because he sent me I did get a code for the Xbox One version. I played a little bit of it. So Robert and I have been talking. So we'll probably be hearing a little more. I'll probably be sharing some more about that next week. But yes, the Georgia Influencers Network. I went out to do
it. Tommy had to share his dog. Apparently have my cat. He jumped up here for attention.
There's the cat. Yeah, I locked my cat out of the room. She hates it. She knows it's Sunday night because it's the only time she gets locked out of this office. But Pixel was ushered out about 7:48 tonight. So she'll be back in like 9:12 or whatever, whenever the door opens.
Agree. Desperately wants out. There's a bird nest right outside our door, four little eggs in it, and he is anxious to get a hold of it.
Yeah.
So he's staying in.
So tell us about your game that you've been working on, Fading Suns, Pax Alexius, and this is a tabletop RPG, which is why I've got dice out behind me. For people who probably haven't played tabletop RPGs or are not really as familiar with the ones that aren't the ubiquitous D&D and maybe even like the vampire in the public consciousness, tell us first a little bit about the Fading Suns universe and what type of game Fading Suns is kind of in the tabletop realm.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is a real game. You kids with your Walkman iPads and stuff playing these digital games, they don't know what real gaming is. Mm-hmm. But the interesting part of it is after I left White Wolf, where I was the original developer of Vampire the Masquerade, I met up with these guys at a company called Several Dudes Holistic Gaming, and they were making really cool war games that I enjoyed, and we teamed up to kind of start combining tabletop computer gaming and all these. So we call it Holistic Design Incorporated because we had the conceit that we could design any type of game, role-playing game, computer game, board game, card games, etc. So we actually merged the creation of both with this game. So a tabletop RPG is really about the character's development, and the player's relationship with that character. We learn things about our character, and if we're lucky, we learn things about ourselves by playing that character. And no matter how minutely you visualize your character when you begin, how completely you think you've done it, the character is going to change as you play it, and that's one of those marvelous things about role-playing games. The character becomes a much more fulfilling, fuller creation as you play it. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, in computer games, it is very much the experience that is so core to what we enjoy. So we did the Emperor of the Fading Suns computer game, a 4X strategy game. 4X, most of you folks probably know, explore, expand, exploit, and exterminate. Classic. Mm-hmm. We like to think we added the fifth X of context. None of these words start with X's. It's just that X's are a lot sexier than the four E's or anything like that. So we designed these to work in tandem. We did the Emperor of the Fading Suns grand strategy game. You battle through the stars, conquer planets, move out and conquer the rest of the known worlds. And as soon as that game is over and one player is crowned emperor, that's when the tabletop role-playing game begins. And instead of being the grand masters of humanity, one of the five most powerful beings battling it out for the future of everyone, you become an individual trying to survive and what they left over after the wars. And it's really interesting how these two inform each other. So we had design choices, like we didn't want mass fleets just flying anywhere in space. We wanted choke points in space so you'd have places where there are battles. Thus, we put the jump gates into it. We wanted a feudal feeling where, like, the idea of knights could ride into a mass of peasant levies fearlessly because they had armor on. We wanted to capture that. So we gave the nobles energy shields to protect them from most things. We had to give you a way then to get through those energy shields and created the whole process of dueling as part of the game. And all of these design decisions fed the universe, and the universe fed the design decisions in these ways. We wanted this grand interstellar star-spanning element, but then we wanted these very personal stories. In fact, we called the game more of a passion play, kind of the idea of a medieval passion play, getting down into those fundamental individual motivations. And by combining these, we think we came up with something that worked very well for both of them. Emperor of the Fading Suns still has a wonderful following. Love it till this day. And, of course, the Fading Suns tabletop game is now on its fourth edition. Mostly you play humans. There are some aliens you can play, the giant six-limbed monstrous Vorrochs, the more holy Obun, their cousins, the more, sneaky and, I won't say assassin, but hiding in the dark Ukar, the Gannock monkeys, and so forth, hanging out there. And, of course, behind it all, there are things in space looking to eat your soul. Mm-hmm. So, took the elements of science fiction we love the most and combined them into the gaming system that we would enjoy as well. And yeah, like I said, now fourth edition.
So how is it played? Like, what are the rule systems kind of like on a high level? Is this based off of another system, or are you guys using your own system? What's the gameplay system you're doing?
It's the real D20 system, heck with all these others. So we try to have as many things as possible happen with run roll rather than throwing dice after die after die after die. In the game, anything you do is going to be a combination of a characteristic plus a skill. So, for instance, if Bobby was trying to shoot me in the head again, he would be doing a dexterity plus shoot roll, mm-hmm. and adding the two together to get a target number. They're rated from 1 to 10. Adding them together as a target number, rolling that gives you a number of victory points you can then assign to determining how effective that attack was. So one roll essentially handles everything. We've seen that players really like a lot of control over the story, so we give them a lot of different powers that let them influence how those dice rolls pan out, let them make other players' rolls at a disadvantage, so very likely to fail, or make their own at an advantage, share and support each other. We make the whole idea of the troop pretty integral. I mean, you can play this single player. It's a great experience that way. But having a troop of people, you have your noble, who's generally the leader of it. You have the priests of the Orthodox Church coming along to save their souls and believing that they're the real masters pulling the strings. Behind them, you have the more technology savvy Merchant League members who are sure that they're the ones who are pulling everyone else's strings. Mm-hmm. And they work together and generally toward the same goal, except when, of course, they're undercutting each other. Not that we would have anything like that in our games. So it is a great way for a group of friends to spend an evening spinning tales, sharing ideals, succeeding, failing miserably, as it may be, and throwing dice at the table or virtually, depending on how they want to play.
Right. So tell us a little bit about Pax Alexius. This is what's on Kickstarter right now. It's been funded, but there's 48 hours left for you to get in on this. What's new in this edition, and what are some of the stories that are in this edition?
I'm really amazed at how many of the stretch goals people have opened up. I mean, it was going at a essentially $20,000 one. We're almost at $150,000 mm-hmm. right now. It was wonderful to see all the older fans and players of the game leap to support this. It's been a long time since we've done a new edition. People are apparently very interested in getting their hands on it again. I was rather afraid when we had it come out in this time of economic collapse that it would collapse as well. But while a number of Kickstarters have suffered, we probably would have done better in another time, but it's done pretty well. And then we look at things like Frosthaven. It's like, there are still people who are going to support the things that they really love and care about. So Pax Alexius is essentially 20 years after the first edition of the book. The first edition came out in 96. All right, 25 years. Came out in 96. We advanced the timeline to 5020. So initially, we had the game start in 4996 AD. Now it's past 5000. 5020 is when the new version is. New stories, the emperor, the same emperor, Alexius, is still in power, has expanded his peace throughout the known world, but is now engaging in more involvement with the barbarians, has taken over a barbarian world, has married a barbarian bride, and sent everyone into a tumult of excitement and horror at the thought of this, and opened up a whole new realm of adventures we didn't really get too heavily into in the earlier editions. Technology is very much the same. A lot of reasons for that. The church frowns on any tech advances. Those who have the technology hoard it for themselves and don't want others to advance beyond them. And in many ways, the older technology is the best. Humanity went through this period of great prosperity called the Second Republic, f***ed it all up, and now people just play around with their toys, not understanding how they work. But the game itself has changed. We've given the players a lot more control over the story with things like advantage and disadvantage and ways to influence each other's roles beyond what we had in the past. We've got this great backstory of factions and powers and so forth that have been developed through the first three editions. And now we're opening up barbarian space more, adding a great deal more that way. Expect a bit more piracy to appear since we're now spending more time in barbarian spaces, and all good stories should involve pirates one way or another. And we're opening up the universe even more than we have before, and we're looking forward to getting into some of the deeper secrets that we have hinted at in the past and not yet peeled back those layers of the onion.
So what does your cat think of all this? Because obviously your cat's trying to interject a little bit.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
He thinks that birds are tasty in any universe.
Yep.
You want a teary warrior coming after you and thinks so. But I do apologize for that. He wants out desperately and can't be having that happen.
No, not right now. So some of these...
he's under his own quarantine.
Yeah, I understand. My cat's like, I've been under quarantine for 18 years. Why do you find this so hard?
Yeah, no robots. We have golems in this game. These thoughtless... machines. A lot of things are phrased more in a medieval view. We don't have computers. We have think machines. That's why weapon skills are called shoot and not firearms or whatever. And it's really interesting taking on this perspective of it, the whole passion play idea.
Yeah. And Breakman in chat says, don't worry, Bobby isn't good at shooting. He will always roll a run. Breakman, I'm going to prove this. Hang on. I got my 20-sided die here. I'm going to roll it.
But one's always hitting our game. They're minimal success. 20s are the fumbles.
Oh, okay. Because I rolled a 20. So, okay. So I missed on that one. So I actually have this question because...
Is that your die that always rolls 20? Now we know how you roll.
I know. It might be weighted. I don't know. I haven't used that dice bag in a long time. So I actually wanted to kind of ask this just in terms of designing a tabletop RPG, because unfortunately, as much as I enjoy it, I haven't really done that much tabletop RPG where there is a DM and stuff. And one of the things – I know. I did it a lot in college playing White Wolf stuff, actually, both LARP and tabletop settings. But it was kind of interesting how you say, like, there's these, there are secrets that we're keeping and secrets that we're pulling back. But the whole way you play this is that there is a game master. So how do you phrase it to where the secret can be, interpreted by the GM without them knowing the secret, or do they know the secret? How does that work out?
Well, if you play Vampire, you know a lot of how I set that up as well. Does Cain really exist? Yeah. Do the antediluvians really exist? What are the powers who are actually behind this?
Mm-hmm.
And the big questions, which it's often uncomfortable for a game to answer, are those more how does the world work? What is the meaning of life sort of questions? Is it existential, or is there a real reason behind why we walk these planets the way we do? Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun to let the GMs take their own view on these things. So we phrase Alexius, the emperor. He's apparently this wonderful person who wants to create hope for humanity, but then all his enemies have all these other stories that they spin about him, where he's the absolute traitor of humanity, setting us up to be devoured. There are those in the church who believe he is essentially the one to bring the end times upon us and so forth. And you can take those... perspectives as a game master and run with all of them. So I've always been of the opinion, and since you played Vampire, you saw this, that anytime I reveal the answer to one secret, that should create at least two more that you're wondering, okay, what does this now mean? If this is true, how can this be?
Right.
And I think that's what gamers love. They love the chance to explore and put their own stamp on the settings that they care about. And that's certainly what we've heard from our players. They have their own views of why the Suns are fading. That's the one we certainly haven't revealed yet, that we've given a lot of big hints over the years. And that perspective from the GMs can really shape the depth of their stories and take them in all new ways.
You've designed both tabletop role-playing games and computer games, and some in the same universe and some not. And since this is primarily a video game podcast and we have video game, mostly are video game players, I want to kind of ask about this, and it kind of piggybacks on the last question, is how is it different designing a computer game from a tabletop game? Because like with the computer game, you own everything, you determine everything, and in a tabletop game, the players are determining things.
Screw it all up.
Yeah. So how do you work with that, and what are some of the tricks in designing? How are the design differences there?
Yeah, it's hilarious talking to writers and filmmakers, because they're used to being able to completely script the experience. They know exactly what's going to happen at every moment. You do video games, you have none of that control, but you have some idea of what's going to happen. You know it's going to happen when people are in this level. Or in a game like Mall Tycoon, you know they have these abilities, they can build these things. Or in our old Battles of Destiny game, you know how they're generally going to fight, even they're going to surprise you with all new ways to do it. With RPGs, you just blow that all out of the water. You're giving them the basic tools, and they're going to do things you never, ever would have expected. I mean, playtesting in computer games, yeah, players are going to break the games in ways you didn't expect, have crazy videos pop up on YouTube. But nothing like the weird ways they're going to twist and deform your role-playing game idea. So computer game, you're very much creating a box in which people play and have a great time. It's a really big box. And one of the things I love to do when I start working on a game is sit down and actually start physically writing out everything that the player does. Presses this button, this happens, has this response, wants to do this as a result. I love games. I've been playing my old Battles of Destiny again, where you just want to do the next turn. You set up all these cool things. You know exactly what you want to do next. You just need to let time pass so you can do those things. Have the turn happen. Multicoon, same way. If I just get this much money in, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And you are scripting out that sort of experience for people. Role-playing games, you are just creating a sandbox that people are going to do with what they will, throw the sand out of it, pee in it, mm-hmm. pee each other up in, or build sandcastles or whatever. And you really have to take that perspective. How can I give the players and the GMs the tools to do as much as they could possibly want without killing each other over the rules?
So Tiger Claw asked this earlier, and I kind of had a question that's kind of like this, but in this current era of social distancing and what we're going on with the world right now, it's kind of a hard ask because to have people sit around a table, because that's the one thing we really shouldn't be doing right now, is sitting around the same table. So we've already kind of touched on how this affected your Kickstarter specifically, but you know, the rise of how has like video conferencing and playing these games over video conferencing, how has that grown, and where can that maybe improve so people can still have these stories and still have these game nights while following all the recommendations from health officials?
Yeah, I remember doing Skype gaming so long ago. I think it's 20 years ago. Has Skype been around 20 years now? I think I did my first Skype RPGing about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And now you've got Zoom, Roll20, et cetera. I love anything that lets players play games the way they want to. Mm-hmm. So my classic example was free-to-play games start coming out, and people have to buy all this stuff. And I immediately have the knee-jerk old-school game designer reaction. Yes, they're messing up the way games should be. You got to go to the GameStop and buy a box. Got to go to Electronic Boutique and buy a box. And then I realized a lot of people like playing that way. They like playing a little bit and then buying only those aspects of the games they cared about. Mm-hmm. And that was a perfectly valid way to be playing. And I already had this mindset with tabletop. I didn't have with computer games at the time. I've always had the idea with role-playing games that I am just giving people the tools to play the way they want to. As much as I am an egotist about the stories I've created for my games, players' stories are so much better. And because they're theirs, twice as much meaningful as anything I will give them. I love when people come up and tell me about their adventures in life, because it really is something they're passionate about and that they care about. And these digital tools are another way to do that. I've done the games where you've got a couple people playing digitally, the rest are in person, where everyone is playing digitally. I am old school. I prefer a bunch of friends sitting around the table with books and dice and going to town. That is my favorite way to do this. I miss it when the people aren't in the same room with me. I understand that they're off looking at some other Facebook or something at the same time I'm doing that instead of giving their attention to the table. I object to the fact that we're not arguing over what pizza toppings to order mm-hmm. together. I miss that interaction. The social interaction is one of the three top things about tabletop role playing for me. But I like the fact that we can bring people in this way. And there are people who prefer to do it digitally anyway, who would prefer to be absent from the physical table mm-hmm. and be part of the game. And that's great. I'm glad that we have the dice rollers now. Though I actually think that people are more honest when they play digitally than when they're in person. I'm amazed at how people will fudge their roles for the weirdest reasons at the table. I think that just being digital, they like to be more honest about mm-hmm. it for some reason. But you got the digital rollers. I see people playing miniature games now virtually. One person's filming the table for the other. One video that just cracked me up, I just saw with two guys playing in masks across a long gaming table from each other, pushing the pieces with the classic old what are those called? The military uses the push sticks to move the units around. I just found that hilarious. But again, it is about giving people the tools to game the way they want to. And I would rather get everyone together in a room, but I'm glad to do it digitally. And it's hilarious that you'll have various tools up at the same time. Fading Suns game might be being played in Roll20 to show where all the miniatures are, mm-hmm. where all the pieces are, where all the characters are running around, what the background looks like. The main game is happening in Discord, and then there are these side Skype conversations going on. So I remember early on in D&D when you wanted to do some of the other players, your thief was going to backstab someone, you pass a note to the GM, and everyone goes, uh-oh, he's backstabbing us, he's passing over to the GM. Now you just Skype him and nobody else knows that you're about to disrupt the party.
Yeah.
So I like it. I like it. And it's not my favorite way, but I'm glad to be able to do it.
Yeah, because I know there's more products that are doing that. There is a Steam game called Tabletop Simulator, which was designed for like board games and stuff, but people can use it for because you can mod it and put anything in there. People are using it for miniatures or other D&D sessions, and you can even do that in VR. So people who have invested in a VR setup can actually stand around the table and physically move pieces and things like that. And then I'm also a Kickstarter backer of Tilt 5, which is Jerry Ellsworth's AR device. So it's augmented reality, and it's designed for board games, where on your table you have a board, and other people that have the Tilt 5 device are around the same board, and you're all playing the same game over the internet, but you're all physically standing around your own table.
We've all talked about how RPGs and VR and AR are just such an automatic mix. Mm-hmm. However, getting a RPG players to spend the money that's going to be needed is the question. So I'd love for it to be the first place for those tools to come out, but hasn't necessarily been the case. But I love the idea of what those can do as well.
Well, and speaking of spending a lot of money, one of the things that's been interesting over the past just 10 or 20 years is, and I kind of want to ask you about like kind of the financials of this, is the decline of the print industry, or what it looks like to be the decline of the print industry. There aren't as many bookstores out there anymore. There are still bookstores, but a lot of the gaming books, instead of just getting a hardback book, they're available online and digitally. And, so does that mean that there's less profits for you, or is it kind of a wash because now you don't have to print as many books? You're just selling a PDF on like DriveThruRPG or something.
It is interesting how the numbers are working out now. So the number of books being sold is definitely down. I don't just mean the physical books. I mean the PDFs as well. I've looked at the sales numbers between what we used to do with Vampire in the early 90s and what Pathfinder has been doing for like the past decade. And the vampire numbers just blew it away. It's like, how could that be? This is Pathfinder. This is great stuff. And the collapse of the distribution market, the distribution network for tabletop has been tremendous, and there's just no replacing. And on the other hand, yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm going to make more money on the PDF. If I am selling Fading Suns rulebook, let's say I'm selling it at $20, which is what the first edition came out at, I am get the retailer's paying 60% of it, but they're not buying it from me. They're buying it from a distributor who's only paying 40% of the cover price. So let's say I'm selling to the distributor $8. At least half of that is the production and shipping and so forth, which leaves very little on each book for the publisher. So even though less books are going, I think that the companies, the larger companies, are doing about as well as back in then. Obviously, White Wolf collapsed and had to get bailed out by CCP in the aughts. They weren't able to keep it going. But that's when everything really was in decline and people didn't have the new tools in place. I'm a big fan of the Kickstarters. I love backing Kickstarters. I love the things I get from Kickstarters. And I think Kickstarters have become one of the driving forces for something else I like, which is the continuing merger of role-playing games, board games, and computer games. So when people pledge on a Kickstarter, they want stuff. They want, I mean, you got to have stretch goals for them. And with board games and miniatures games, there's all this stuff you can give them. Yeah. But what are you getting with tabletop? What, a couple extra pages in the book? So now the tabletop companies are adding more of the board game or card game elements, like the playmats, which we have in Fading Suns now. These are a lot of fun to use. They help you track what's going on in a real neat way. They're in no way essential. Yes, all these cool things which would normally be in a board game. And I mean, my old school purist heart says, I just want my notebook and my books and let me do it. And you get your hands on these and they just inspire the game so much more. I'm glad that you can play without it, but you've got all these cool things. And you look at something like Gloomhaven and Frosthaven, where they're combining role-playing game, tabletop, and digital all together. And I think it's just a great new way to allow players to play games in the way they want, take them in all new directions and enjoy them, give them the tools and let them build it out and enjoy the best of all three of those combined into one.
Why are these all in pounds?
All these prices. I think euros.
Or the euros.
Our publisher now is Germany. I'm not handling all that publishing side anymore. Thank you very much. That is Ulysses Spiel is now the publisher. They are doing all the work on it. I'm just having fun writing. I get to write horrible daccatos. Let me show you one of the daccatos. That's what I'm working on right now, working on the folks for these books. See, can you see the resemblance to me?
Yeah.
It looks just like me.
Yep.
I'm glad to let someone else do the work. In the old days of Fading Suns, we were in full gear. My first hour at the office would be spent on finances. Next hour would be spent on the shipping and logistics side. Next couple hours on organizing internal. Maybe about 3 or 4 o'clock, I'd actually get some writing done.
Yeah.
So it's good to let them do that instead. I didn't look to the left side of my screen to see what was on the bottom of the...
So we could talk about that. So, this is a story I like to bring up. Not bitter at all. I'm actually not. But for people on the podcast, on the left side, we actually have, like... It's supposed to be, like, a headline ticker, but since this, I just keep it as separate facts. And Andrew Greenberg was the person who interviewed me at my first job out of college. And he didn't hire me. Yeah, I just graduated college, and you were actually also the first job interview I had gone on after graduation for Holistic Designs, and I am pretty sure, even though we're not exactly sure, it was to work on Mall Tycoon, because the position was to do a game that we had not done before. So yeah. It wasn't Noble Armada or anything like that, so I'm pretty sure it was Mall Tycoon. It came down, I think, to me and somebody you interned with you over the summer, so there really was no chance, but you know. But yeah, so Andrew rejected me from the first job I tried to get out of college. How could you?
Yeah, Mall Tycoon is one of those crazy games, our smallest budget and our best seller.
I know, it's the one I have. There's the Holistic logos down there. It was a whole $20.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
Yeah.
High-priced computer games of the day.
That's right.
Bobby would be completely burned out of the game. You're right, Rob. Yeah. Rob. Bobby would be completely burned out of the game industry. Bitter, angry, only playing Sudoku.
Yeah. No, I think it worked out for both of us because I think you got you hired the better person at the time. And then, you know, I'm now doing the podcast and we get to talk 20 years later, whereas we probably wouldn't be talking right now. So I think it works fine right now. I tried a couple times to get into the game industry and failed every time, and that's probably a good thing in the end. All right, so Fading Suns PAX Alexius is on Kickstarter right now. Where can people go to find out more information about the game itself?
Yeah, we've got a bunch on the Holistic Design, Ulysses Spiel. I've given the Kickstarter stuff, and Bill and I will actually be doing another stream. Bill Bridges is the co-creator of it with me. Mm-hmm. We'll be doing another stream Tuesday at 5, and we're going to be talking not just about Fading Suns, but what kind of adventures you can run in science fiction games. Okay. So if you're interested in checking that sort of thing out, I'm a big fan of how many people use our stuff for other games. Star Frontiers back in the day, Traveler, we had a lot of our stuff. We worked with Mark Miller where some of our stuff was approved use of Traveler. Mm-hmm. I love that people can go ahead and use our stuff in other games, and I like cribbing from other games when I run something. Yeah. So, yeah, come join us for a look at adventures in science fiction.
And what about if people are interested in, if there are people here in Georgia that maybe do live streams and don't know about the Georgia Game Developer Association or the Georgia Influencers Network, where can they find more information about any of that?
Come to ggda.org. Uh-huh. We've got information on the streaming network and everything else we do. We'll be putting up some information on our upcoming streams. So check it out. We do got about 600 members or so across the state. We've got more than 400 videos up on YouTube on all aspects mm-hmm. of game development, including tabletop game development.
Yeah.
So actually, if you don't mind, I'll put up a link to the YouTube as well. And I would love to have you check it out, learn more about gaming and, well, game development. You already know all about gaming.
Yeah.
Every gamer is an expert on gaming.
Of course. Because, I mean, we all know that all you got to do to port something is you set the build target in Unity and just say build. And then it's done. All right. Andrew Greenberg, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on this Sunday evening.
He did that just because I'm in the middle of porting Noble Armada to console. So,
Noble Armada Lost Worlds is out on Steam right now if you want to check it out.
Working on the console version. I have a new PC version up not too distant in the future.
Awesome. I look forward to playing that one. So, Andrew Greenberg, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
All right. Take care. Great talking, Bobby. Always a pleasure.
Thank you
so much. Someday you'll fire me, I have no doubt.
Maybe right now. No, I'm not going to fire you. You never hired me.
That's true.
See, there was no firing because you never hired me. You didn't want me in the first place.
Came down to you and one other.
No, and actually, this does segue into something probably because a lot of people in this time, there's a lot of unemployment out there. And I remember actually mentioning this at the last public gathering I went to was actually launching the Georgia Influencers Network, where we were very safe about it. And I don't think anybody got sick from it, so we were all good. But people were like, I can't get anybody's attention. What am I doing wrong? And sometimes, like when you're going to be starting to look for a job, when this kind of blows over, all this stuff, and you try to get off of unemployment, realize that many, many times it's not about you. It's not you. I can't put words in Andrew's mouth, but he probably would have hired me if the circumstances were different. I don't think I would have been deficient in working for them. I probably would have been a great employee, but it wasn't about me. It was about someone else, and someone else was just better, and it was just a better fit for them. And that was not a knock on me at all. And it took me a little while to get over that because it's obviously very depressing and sad, but that you're going to probably run into that if you are facing unemployment right now.
Guilt trip.
Yeah. But it's fine. It worked out. But it's something that people looking for jobs probably need to know is that it's not always about you. You could be perfect and still not get a call back. And because the people doing the hiring also have to make very tough decisions that they probably don't want to make.
Good point. But the game industry is hiring right now.
Yep. And you can work from home for most of them. So, all right, Andrew, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much.
All right, my pleasure, Robbie. Great evening, everybody. Happy Easter, happy Passover. Great getting out of quarantine eventually.
Yep. Awesome. Thank you so much. So, so that was Andrew Greenberg. Thank you so much for being on here on the show and talking about some tabletop RPGs. He made a crack that, you know, people were like, you know, throwing their dice rolls and stuff for weird reasons. And, you know, he was kind of talking about me because I did not roll a 20 when I showed the dice over there to Breakman. So that did not actually go the full time. So I'm going to go ahead and say that we will actually do a call with OLR after this, I believe. I'm haven't actually told Rob that we were going to do that yet. So I'm going to give him a couple minutes to let me know that he is ready to take a call, because we didn't talk to him last week. Because of the interview. But I will say that I have been playing some Final Fantasy VII Remake. I actually did go out, leave my house to do curbside pickup, which is it is a very interesting experience to do curbside pickup. Best Buy has it down. No opening of the windows. You have to yell at people through the window. They put it in your trunk for you. I did pick up Final Fantasy VII Remake, which, by the way, if you do get the physical version, it's actually on two discs. So they've got your data disc, and then you've got the play disc. So you have to install the data disc first, which installs about 85 gigs, and then you put the play disc, and then that's how you play. In terms of the game, there was an article on a website, and it's written by someone who lives close here, and we're friends. We've met up before. And the headline, I don't think he wrote the headline, about how the easy mode is too easy. And because SJ Runner Matt is already asking, was the Bobby Blackwolf mode too Bobby Blackwolf? I don't think so. I've actually about 7 hours in. I just started, I believe, chapter 7. Fifth Dream Today says that trended and people were mad. Yes, it did. But I actually don't mind it. I understand that if you've been playing normal mode and you go down to easy, you're like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. But you know what? There's always, because I've been playing it on easy mode, not on the casual or the story mode, so I'm still attacking myself. But there is still the strategy that has to go on. It's not just hold down square and you win. It's not that, even if, though it may seem like that if you've been playing normal mode for 25 hours and you turn on easy mode, then suddenly it's press square to win. It's not, I have not had that. But it has also had the story move further. I'm actually making progress. I'm not getting frustrated. I'm not redoing fights. And that's actually how I want to experience it. I paid 10% off $60 because I'm still in that Best Buy Gamers Club. And that's actually how I want to experience the game. And I don't want to just watch YouTube, even though I could. You know, I'm sure that there's an all cutscenes video up on YouTube, and I could watch it because, like, that's what some people say who think that games should only be challenging. I like still playing and going through the motions. I just also like the fact that I'm not getting destroyed and getting having to redo fights. I really enjoy it, and I also realize that the easy mode is great for people who do have disabilities. It's an accessibility feature for some people who maybe can't handle the fast twitch reflexes that some other people can, but they can still enjoy the game. And so I'm very glad that it's there. I am using it. I am thoroughly enjoying my time with Final Fantasy VII Remake so far. I have seen some of the changes, that it's not a direct one-to-one comparison with the original game. It feels like it is its full game. I've heard people say, oh, why am I paying $60 for one-third of the story or one-fourth of the story? But it really doesn't feel like it's only one-fourth of the story. It feels like it's its own story, and it's going to have a beginning, middle, and end, and then we'll go to the next one. Kind of like how The Hobbit was one book, but you had to pay the price of two movies to see that whole book come to life. So I am enjoying it. Like I said, I'm about 7.5 hours into it, which is amazing. But it's because I'm able to continually go through the game, and I'm continuing in the game. It's not posing a mental challenge, but nothing I can't overcome, whereas other people can play on normal and they would get a stronger challenge, and that's great. I'm glad that's there for them. This is not a Souls game, so it doesn't need to be like a Souls game. I am also totally fine with Souls games not having difficulty settings. You know what you're getting with Souls games. I am totally fine with not being a part of playing Souls games. I'm totally fine with that. Not every game has to cater to me, believe it or not. But this game, I am glad that it does. And so I am into it. Also, another game that caters to me, and I have not been playing this one as much. I do have Persona 5 Royal. It adds so much stuff, it couldn't really be DLC to the game. So, but it's the Atlus tradition of re-releasing the game with more content, and that's what we got with Persona 5 Royal, and I'm enjoying that. And that also has a safety mode is what I'm using, and I am having a lot of fun with that. Breakman says, that's a slick-looking case. Yes, Best Buy does the Steelbook, so it's got this nice Steelbook. It's not a special edition. This is just the normal edition that they send out. Ekdeft even says, it's an option. You don't have to play Final Fantasy VII on easy if you do not want to. That's right. And you can change. You can swap mid-game. I will not be swapping. So coming up here on the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them. And see what they're up to and what they're going to be talking about. We didn't get to talk to them last week, and it was kind of sad. So, Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. Discord actually changed their interface, so I have to click a couple more buttons to get this screen to show up.
I do notice it's a little different all of a sudden. All right. Okay, cool.
So there's a couple more buttons I have to click to get you full screen and me not. But I figured it out. Luckily, I saw it early.
And I shouldn't say we are live. It's just me right now because obviously we are in our social distancing phase. So Dark Soccer and Loki will be joining me in a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You've been also playing some Final Fantasy VII Remake.
I have, and you're actually a little further than me. I guess I have a hard time in this day and age, and maybe it's just being antsy and cabin fever from being stuck in the house all the time. But I have a really hard time just like marathon playing the game. So I have to play it in like short little bursts and then go play something else or like go in the other room. That's a big thing. Like I'll play on the TV for a little bit, then I'll go and I'll play on the PC something else for a little bit, and I'll kind of go back and forth that way. But I'm on chapter 6, so I'm right behind you.
Yeah, but what I wound up doing is, like, I couldn't even start playing until midnight, and then the next thing I know, it's 5 a.m. And it's just because the game, the pacing, because I am playing on easy mode, I'm not stopping to grind anything. It's just going boom, 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 and I'm going forward in the story. And so I think what's helping.
I'm also playing on easy, for what it's worth. And what's interesting, did you find that easy mode in the retail game is actually easier... is actually easier than it is in the full game. I probably said that backwards. Somebody was talking in my ear. Yeah. Did you find that the retail version of the game's easy mode was actually easier than the demo?
No, I think it's about the same. Because I went I went through the demo both on normal and then on the story or the casual, which is where it auto attacks for you, and it seems the same for me.
Gotcha. I had a much easier time with that first boss. But maybe I played the demo on normal and I just forgot. I don't know.
Yeah, see, I played it on normal first and like it almost killed me and I was running out of potions. And then I went through the whole demo again with casual just to see what it was like, and I skipped all the cutscenes and everything. And I had a much easier time with the first boss in the demo.
Yeah, I must have played the demo on normal and forgot.
Yeah, because it took me about like 10 minutes to defeat the boss on the demo on normal, and then it's like it was about 2 minutes, going through each phase once on easy.
Yeah, easy is fairly easy, but that is why it's called easy.
Yeah. So, and you're not a Persona person, so I don't think you've even touched Persona, right?
It's one of those. No, I have a lot of friends that are into it, and it's another one of those games where everybody's like, you should try it. And the one time I did play Persona 4 on the Vita, and I liked it. I didn't dislike it. I just, sorry, just my I got attention span diverted to something else, and I never really got a chance to finish it. It's not a knock against that game, but you know, this is kind of a popular theme with me, is that friends will tell me to get into a game and I don't usually get into it right away. Like, that's what happened with Mass Effect. But then I go back and play it again later and I fall in love with it. And then recently, as I talked about on last week's OLR, Nier Automata is another one of those games. I went back and it's so good. And I actually, like, it's kind of a bummer that Final Fantasy VII Remake came out now, because now it's kind of put that on hold for a little bit.
Yeah, no, I downloaded that as well from Game Pass, and I'm like, ooh, I want to get into it, but I got Cloud and Jesse being very thirsty for Cloud, and then I got Persona and everybody being thirsty over there, and so I kind of wish, or I don't really wish, I'm very happy that I actually have a job that is still able to be done. I've always worked from home, and in fact, I'm not going to go into too much detail about the project I'm on now, but I got put on a new project this week, working with this thing, government admitted thing called the Small Business Administration, and I'm actually writing bank software to process loans that are going out right now. So there's a lot of nights and weekends going on, because that's kind of a, you know, got to get this working, and, you know, any kind of downtime is pretty bad for people. So that happened, and like suddenly, like, I'm like, but I've got these games and I'd want to play them, and everybody else is like, I've got so much time right now, and I'm like, what time do you have?
So at least, hey, it sounds like you're having a pretty big direct impact though on some of the things going on in the world, so congrats.
Yeah, so hopefully we won't mess it up. So it's just
hopefully,
yeah, it's one of those things, like the their side changes something, and then so we then have to react to fix it, and that's mainly what it is, but it mostly works. But I'm kind of actually proud of it, which is why I don't usually talk about my day job, but I'm like, but I get to work on that, and I'm working with banks with names you've heard of. So it's kind of, and I just started on that Tuesday.
Cool.
So even last week when we were talking, I didn't know this was happening. but yeah, but like then all these games came out, and I'm like, oh, yeah, everybody else is like, here's all the new stuff I'm learning. And I mean, and I don't have kids. So like, it's not like I've got kids at home or anything like that. My life literally hasn't changed, other than the fact that the government's telling me I'm not allowed to leave my house. That's the only thing that's changed.
Well, you're like, your trivia nights and things like that, that I'm sure were part of your routine before, are on hold for a little bit.
Yes and no, because I have gotten Jackbox Party Pack to work over Zoom. So my friends were all doing a Jackbox night, but then my company, we actually have done bar trivia on the same night that I normally would go out to bar trivia, but it's with my company. My team won the first time. And the second time, my team would have won, but one of my coworker who was turning in the answer, wrote down the wrong answer on the multiple choice question. And so we got second place. I'm a little bitter.
Aw. Bummer. Bitter. You know, I got to say, though, it's great that is like a thing, and it's great that technology is there to allow people to connect in that way. Admittedly, the Zoom thing doesn't work for me. Like, and I'm not talking from a technological perspective. It's fine. I'm just the interaction with actual people. Like, in some ways, that stuff is actually kind of worse for me. And that's a personality thing. And totally. So I'm very much looking forward to when this can be over.
Yeah. No. And I've been using Zoom for 4 years at my job, because we're a remote company, so I'm very used to the Zoom thing and how to talk with people.
In a professional environment, WebEx and all that stuff, totally fine for me. In a personal environment, doesn't really work for me.
But we're here to get people's mind off of a lot of the stuff that's going on about, so I apologize for clogging up the podcast with that stuff, but I want to get some stuff.
It is what it is. It's on a lot of people's minds, you know.
And this is technically my diary. Everybody's like, you should save a diary so in 10 or 20 years, your grandkids, you can tell them what you were doing during this time. And I'm like, yeah, it's a podcast. Everybody's listening in on my diary.
Yeah, this is it.
Because I can actually look back. We can look back in December. And I think like in January, I actually made a tasteless joke. About everybody says that there's a big pandemic that kills a bunch of people every 100 years, and everybody's saying the coronavirus is it. And it turns out, like, here we are 4 months later, and we're like, oh yeah, here we are. And so, and then like seeing the timeline of like when the PAX East stuff happened and stuff like that. So it's kind of it's going to be interesting in a couple of years to look back and how my views changed in just the past 4 months.
Cringe at how wrong we all were, but for what it's worth, a lot of people were very, very wrong. Like, yeah. Your cringe roll, I guarantee, is not 10% nearly as bad as Dr. Drew's cringe roll.
Yeah.
If you want to go back and check his out, because it's pretty bad.
But I'm also not a medical professional or a doctor of any kind.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Don't That's listen to me worst. For medical advice. Yeah. What is going to be happening on OLR tonight?
I promise we'll talk about games. I mean, yes. Sometimes real life gets in there as well. And how we use games is a bit of an escape. So there'll be lots of talk about Final Fantasy VII Remake and Animal Crossing and the big games of the week. I guarantee it. But there's also gaming news going on in the world, including, hey, the brand new PlayStation 5 controller was revealed. And instead of a DualShock 5, we get a DualSense. So we'll talk a little bit about that, because there are no shortage of hot takes on the new controller, and we're no different here at OLR. We'll also talk a little bit about, if you want to talk about how about other real world news getting into games? How about, if you've had enough of COVID talk and you're over coronavirus, let's talk about Hong Kong, Free Hong Kong and that movement and how that got into a video game and the ramifications that is having. We'll talk about that tonight.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much.
Thank you, as always, Bobby.
All right. So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come live and interact with us directly. You can leave me a bumper when we start actually doing midpoint breaks again. Leave me a bumper if you're using the show by emailing me an MP3 or a link to a video to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com, or you can contact me on Discord and we can work on getting a video, as long as there's no music behind it, because I add music behind it and I don't want to get muted on Twitch. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf, Instagram @BobbyBlackWolf, Twitch @BobbyBlackWolf. That's where I am if you want to follow me during the week. Or you can go to vognetwork.com/discord and you can be in the Discord server and follow me and OLR and other people throughout the week. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make any of this work without the help of the live chatters. And we had some new followers and some subscriptions during the hour. So thank you so much, SJ100 Matt. You've resubscribed for your 14th month. Pele Hanuamea, I just tried to say the whole name for once. He resubscribed for his 14th month. Thank you so much. Pod Culture resubscribed for his 12th month. 12 month. Thank you so much. And then Cobb R4Bree has followed. So thank you so much for the follow. Hope to see you again. OLR is coming up next. I am going to head on out of here and take care of yourself. If you've got some time, play some games and wash your hands. That's another one. And roll natural 20s if you can. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.